Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? It's great to have all of you with us. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Andrew McLean, and I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. One of the things we do every Sunday is we give a special welcome to all those who are listening to our message online later today as it's posted. So let's give a big hand to them. We welcome you. Before beginning the message, I wanted to say what amazing teaching we've had here over the last 4 weeks. Costanzo and Tiffany did an outstanding job teaching our Flushed Away series. Did you enjoy that? Give them a great hand. You guys were incredible. Then last week, our overseer, Pastor Crystal Sparks, man, she delivered an incredible, timely, God-ordained word for us and for our church. It was absolutely incredible. And so I know this is the time of year. Everybody's going on vacation. Everybody's kind of running here and there. And so if you've missed any of those sessions, I encourage you to get caught up. You can listen to them via our iTunes podcast or even on our church app. It's all free. So I encourage you to kind of get caught up with us there. But today, though, we're beginning a brand new, a four-week series entitled Dreams, Detours, and Delays. Dreams, detours, and delays. Anybody here have a dream that you feel maybe has passed you by? Or maybe you're sitting here and you feel that you've made too many mistakes to achieve the dream that God's placed in your heart, that too many difficult circumstances have maybe kept you away from it, that maybe too much time has elapsed or passed since you even thought about it. If you're sitting here this morning and if you've ever told yourself that living a dream must not be your calling in life or any of these other things that I just mentioned, I want you to know that this series is for you. And I believe if we're all being honest, we could have all said yes to at least one of those statements that I read. And so I believe that this series is actually for everybody in this room. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood, and they dreamed of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first tree looked up at the stars and he said, "I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I will be the most beautiful treasure chest in the world." The second little tree looked out at a small stream that was trickling down the hill on its way to the ocean and said, "I want to travel mighty waters. I want to carry powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the world." The third little tree looked down into the valley below where men and women were scurrying throughout the town. And that tree said, "I don't want to leave the mountaintop at all. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they'll lift up their eyes, they'll raise their eyes to heaven, and they'll think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the world." Years passed. Seasons changed. The rains came. The trees bathed in the summer sun as they grew tall and majestic. And one day, three men with axes climbed the mountain. And one man looked at the first tree and said, "This tree is beautiful. It's perfect for me." And with the precise and methodical swings, that majestic tree fell. "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest. Now my day has come. I shall hold wonderful treasure," the first tree shouted out in excitement. The next man looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. This is perfect for me." And with a swoop of his shining axe, the second tree also fell. "Now I shall sail mighty waters," thought the second tree. "I shall be a strong ship for mighty kings." The third tree felt her heart sink when the last man looked her way. She stood straight, tall, pointed bravely to the heavens. But the man never even looked up. Any kind of tree will do for me, he muttered. And with the strong swings of his axe, that third tree fell. The first tree rejoiced when the man brought her to a carpenter's shop. But the carpenter fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold, nor was it filled with treasure. She was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the man took her to a shipyard. But no mighty sailing ship was made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered, and it was sawed, and it was hewn into a simple, humble fishing boat. She was too small and too weak to sail on an ocean. Instead, she was taken to a much smaller body of water. The third tree was confused when the woodsman cut her into big pieces, only to discard her alone in the lumber yard. What happened? The once tall tree wondered. All I ever wanted to do was stay on the mountaintop and point people to God. Many days and many nights passed, and these trees all but forgot about their younger, wide-eyed dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed her newborn baby in that old, dusty feed box. Just a few moments later, a group of shepherds came to worship the child and told the story of the skies being filled with singing angels who were proclaiming the news of a newborn Savior. And suddenly the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure that the world had ever known. 30 years passed, and on one evening, a tired traveler and his friends crowded into an old, rickety fishing boat. The traveler fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the water, and soon a terrible storm arose, and that little tree shuddered, knowing that she didn't have the strength to make it safely across the rough and the stormy waters. And then the tired man, he awoke, he stood up, he stretched out his hand, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm stopped as quickly as it had begun. And instantly, the second tree knew that he was carrying the King of heaven and earth. Just a few years later, one Friday morning, the third tree was startled when her beams were roughly yanked from that old, forgotten wood pile. She flinched as she was roughly jerked through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when shoulders nailed a man's hands and his feet into her once proud limbs. She felt so much shame. She felt so ugly. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. And from that moment on, every time people thought of that third tree, they would know, they would look up to the heavens, and they would thank a God who loved them so very much. This morning, I want you to know that God has placed within each and every one of us a dream. And just like in the story of these three trees, many times we feel that the dream is dead, that it's gone, that the dream has passed us by. We feel that God has forgotten about us, that he's forgotten about the promises that he's made to us. For many of us in this room, it's been years since we've let the excitement and emotion of a God-inspired dream resonate and pulse like adrenaline through our bodies. But can I tell you that no matter what you've experienced in life, God has a purpose. God still has a plan. And I want you to know the things that you've gone through are strategic setups designed to propel you into your destiny. God has called each and every one of us to a specific purpose. In fact, that's why we offer the growth track after service every single Sunday. Man, I hear about this growth track every Sunday. When are they going to stop announcing? No, we're never going to stop. You're going to hear it every Sunday. Because growth track, yes, is a four-week, it's a four-step process that is designed to help you learn and to step into your calling and into your dream. And so if you've not completed Growth Track, I encourage you to jump in and start the process with me today right after service. But dreams are important because there is something that is life-giving about a dream. A dream sustains our souls the way that food sustains our bodies. And there's nothing more tragic than to live a life with a starving soul, always wondering, God, there has to be more to life than this. And even though God-sized dreams are scary, and even though they seem impossible, when we submit ourselves to His plan, I want you to know that it becomes inevitable. And so it's important that we never forget that when God gave you a dream, He is also for you and for the dream that He gave you. Romans 8:31 tells us it this way. He says, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? And so you may be here this morning and you might be wondering, well, if God is for me, if God is for my dream, why is it so difficult? Why doesn't it come easier than the way it is? Listen, every dreamer in life has had to deal with obstacles and difficulties. They've had to overcome some dream killers in their life. And we say, well, what's a dream killer, Andrew? Well, dream killers come disguised as situations, as circumstances, as close friends. Sometimes dream killers are even family members. Dream killers can be your past, it can be your pride, it can be your fear, and we must overcome these things if we are to live the life that God has called us to live. In the book of Genesis, beginning in chapter 37, it goes from 37 to chapter 50, you can read my favorite story in the Bible. It's the story of a man by the name of Joseph. In fact, if you're not real familiar with his story, I'm going to give you some homework this week. I want you to go home and read Genesis 37 to 50. It's an amazing story. Joseph was one of the greatest dreamers in history. And against overwhelming odds, he overcame every dream killer that rose up against him. And so what we're going to do is over the next few weeks, we're going to look more closely at some of the events of his life. But I want to start this morning and just look at the very beginning of his story. In Genesis chapter 37, if you've got your Bible, you can follow along with us in your service. In your service guide, there's a sermon outline that you can follow along with us. But here's what it says, Genesis 37:3. Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph. It was a beautiful robe. In fact, other translations translate this, that it was a coat of many colors. Now back in the times, it may seem a coat, that's kind of a dumb gift, but in that day, that really meant something. It was a big deal. In fact, if you had taken out a loan with a creditor and had defaulted on your loan, it was such a big deal that a creditor was not allowed to take your coat. This was a prized possession for everyone. And so Jacob made Joseph this beautiful robe. Verse 4, but his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. Anybody here have a parent who loves their sibling more than you? All right, that's another message, right? Sorry, I didn't mean to excite you there. Listen to what it says. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. Verse 6, listen to this dream, he said. We were out in the field, tying up bundles of grain, and suddenly my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine. And his brothers responded, so you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think, Joseph, that you will reign over us? And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way that he talked about them. So even though Joseph's brothers hated him, he would go on to achieve big things because he continued to dream. He continued to embrace his dream, not knowing the journey that it would take to get to his destination. And some of you need to hear this right now. God showed Joseph the promise of the dream, but not the process. And for so many people in this room, that's why the dream begins and ends in the same place. They're not willing to live out the process. They're not willing to walk through the pain. They're not willing to go through the detours and walk through the delays. They want to see all the steps, you know, like show me the plan laid out before they even take the first step. They want to make sure that everything is going to go smoothly. Listen, let me tell you this. A God-inspired dream isn't easy. There are going to be difficulties. There are going to be some problems. There's going to be some trials. And guess what? You're going to make some mistakes along the way. But anything that's of any value in life doesn't come easy. But don't lose heart about the difficulties this morning. Because our Heavenly Father has not given us a coat of many colors, but rather He's given us the coat of His Holy Spirit. Come on, He's given us power. He's given us His presence. He's giving us His anointing and His authority. And so the first blank in your outline, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write it down. It's important to understand that it's not who you are, but whose you are. The thing that set Joseph apart was not so much the reality of who he was, but rather whose he was. He was the child of Rachel. Rachel was his father's sweetheart. He was born out of great love. He was born to Jacob in his old age, and that made him special, and it made him unique. And I want you to know, each and every one of us in this room, we were made special. We were created unique. The prophet Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, said this: "Do not be afraid, watch this, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You are a child of God. And as a child of God, when you come to the realization of not just who you are, but rather who you are, everything changes. When you realize whose you are, everything begins to shift. You'll begin to change the way you look at situations. And so the reason your dream seems so difficult, the reason that the struggle is so real, is because it impacts and it transcends your own world. It literally touches the future and it manifests its purpose in others who need the blessing that your dream will provide. And so how do we know? How do we know if the dream that we have in our hearts is truly a God-inspired, God-breathed dream? I want to give you 6 questions to ask as you're walking through life that'll help you identify if it's a dream that you should pursue. Here's the first one, the next blank in your outline. Number one is it bigger than you? Is your dream bigger than you? Any dream that God has put inside of you will be much bigger than what you can accomplish on your own. You know, it's interesting, as children, we begin life and we dream about being a major league baseball player, or maybe a football player, or an astronaut, or an inventor, or a business owner, but people come in our lives. Circumstances come into our lives, and what happens is they begin to whittle those dreams down to size. And so as we reach adulthood, many of us have voluntarily trimmed our dreams to a manageable proportion so we don't live life disappointed. I want you to know something this morning. This is so powerful. God is the author of the impossible. In Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." Amen. So the first test that you can apply to your dream is it too big for me to fulfill without God's help? And if it is, you're on the right track. Here's the second question. Number two is, can you let it go? Can you let it go? A God-given dream is a is a bothersome thing. It just won't leave you alone. It just keeps bobbing to the surface of your heart. It just keeps clamoring for your attention. In fact, I remember about 5.5, 6 years ago when God was dealing with my heart to plant the Lifeway Church. I can't tell you how many times I just tried to push it away. I would think things like, well, I'll just work my career. I'll just make a lot of money. We'll go on nice vacations and we'll be happy then. I don't need the problems. I don't need the struggles that planting a church would bring. Come on, anybody ever talked like that to God? But like trying to submerge a beach ball underwater. How many of you have done that? Taking a beach ball, I tried to push that thing down. I'd step on it and it just fly right back up right in my face. And I'd try to push it down and over again. It just keeps coming back up. So does it keep coming back up? Can you let it go? Here's the third question. Number three is, are you willing to give everything for it? Are you willing to devote every ounce of energy and every minute of your days to it? A dream requires a devotion, much like a parent who would give their life for their child in order to see them grow and find fulfillment. Are you willing to give everything for it? The fourth question is this: is it something that will last forever? Will it last forever? So many of us in this room, we're all guilty. We pursue dreams built on things that eventually fade away. We try to build our lives on fame, on fortune, on health, on ego, on tradition, on power. But listen, none of these foundations will support your dream because they do not last. And so the first thing that we must build on that will last forever is actually the truth that we find in God's word, the truth we find in this book. In fact, in Luke 21:33, Jesus tells us, heaven and earth will pass away, but watch this, my words will never pass away. They will never disappear. And so you have to build your dream on that never changing, that solid foundation of the word of God. Does it align with the word of God? The second thing that lasts forever is people. You would say, well, that doesn't make sense. People don't last forever. Well, listen, I get it. Our physical bodies, as long as the Lord tarries, our physical bodies will eventually all pass away. But I want you to know our spirit, our soul will live for eternity. And so when Jesus walked the earth, his sole purpose was to seek and save that which was lost. I want you to think about this. Jesus lived his life to die for people. And that's how we should spend our lives as well. I don't want to scare you thinking, oh gosh, I got to go die this week. Oh my gosh, man, pastor, preacher, really hard message. Listen, God's not asking most of us in this room to die a physical death. But I believe he is asking us to die to self. To be willing to sacrifice for the purpose of serving somebody else. The fourth part of our hope for people who attend our church is that everybody here would use their gifts to make a difference. And that's why you hear us talk about it all the time. We want every person to be a part of the dream team. Listen, where we get to serve people on Sundays who may be far from Jesus. In fact, the only way we can really minister to God is by touching people. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, watch this. Who are you doing it to? You were doing it to me. I want you to think about this morning. When you serve as part of the band and the production crew, man, let's give them a hand. They are an awesome team. This team is here every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. They're the first ones here. Listen, when you do that, band, production crew, you do it to Jesus. When you teach and inspire children with the Word of God in our Kids Way team, listen, you are doing it to Jesus. When you wave in the parking lot, when you pass out service guides, when you serve coffee and donuts to guests, listen, you are doing it to Jesus. And I want you, if this is your church home, I want you to hear this. This comes with love from the heart of a pastor. I love you with all of my heart, but some of you need to step back from all of your activities and all the busyness in life, and you need to determine, what am I doing with my time that is making an eternal difference? Is it something that will last forever? Build on something that lasts. Here's number five. Does it meet the needs of others? Does it meet the needs of others? Your dream must be built on human need. And so, will it help people, or is it only to help yourself? Will it improve other people's lives? Will it alleviate suffering? Does it fill a need that perhaps nobody else is meeting? The secret to happiness in life is pouring your life out into other people, giving without expecting anything in return. Here's number six. The last question is this. Does it bring glory to God? Does it bring glory to God? I think that the most horrible thing in life is to realize that you've wasted months, years, or even decades following the wrong dream. Life is too precious to fritter away by building on a crumbling foundation. Way too many people, they lose their lives not by dying, but by squandering their time on meaningless things. Does it bring glory to God? So once we've identified that our dream has in fact come from Him, what practical steps can we take to move into the direction of achieving it? How do we get there? Here's the first one. Number one, on page two of your outline, it's this. Is number one, I need to discover my design and gifts. I need to discover my design and gifts. This is actually what we will do today in step two of Growth Track. We'll take some assessments together that'll help us discover the way that God designed us, help us to discover our personality and our spiritual gifts. Listen, our design always points us towards our destiny. And God has gifted each of us. I know I've said that several times here this morning. God has gifted each and every one of us. Watch this. Romans 12:6 says, we have different gifts, watch this, according to the grace given to each of us. So I want you to hear this morning. God gave you the gifts, Phil, that you have. Jesus, God gave you the gifts that you have. You didn't get to choose them. He knew that you guys would eventually become a part of the body of Christ, and you'd begin attending the Lifeway Church. And as part of the body of Christ, Phil, you have a job to do. Jesus, you have a job to do. Abby, you have a job to do. We all have a job to do. And guess what? If you're not doing your job, the body is being neglected. And the fulfillment that so many of us long for. So many of us say, God, it's another Monday. There has to be more to life than this. The fulfillment that you long for will only come when you begin to activate your gifts in the body of Christ. So to move towards my dream, I need to first discover my design. The second thing, number two, is I need to review my experiences. Review my experiences. We must look at our past history. I love this verse, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. It's a powerful verse. It says, and we know that God causes everything. Come on, everybody, say everything. Come on, say it with conviction. Everything. Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. And so listen, I want you to hear this. God wants to use your talents to serve His larger goals. And you may be sitting here and you're saying, well, I've got a skill, but I don't even really enjoy it that much. Listen, you may find that skill is going to open new doors of opportunity. I want you to hear this. Oftentimes, the way we will achieve our dreams is by being willing to serve someone else's. But we must also look at our experiences, both the good and the bad. If you're anything like me, not everything in our past is good. Most of us have some type of lingering pain in our lives. Some of us in this room, we've gone through painful divorces or observed them as children. We grew up with angry parents or struggled with alcohol or other addictions. Some have had abortions or filed for bankruptcy or endured unspeakable hurts and abuse in their lives. But I want you to hear me this morning. Each of these problems fall into the category of everything that we just read in Romans 8:28. God wants to integrate, listen to this, He wants to integrate your hurts and difficulties into your life message. I want you to hear me. He will never waste the difficult seasons in our lives. Not everything is good. That's not what the scripture says. But it does say that everything will work out for the good to those who love Him and are called according to, watch this, whose purpose? His purpose. His dream, His plan. So I must discover my design and gifts. I must review my experience. Here's number three. I need to decide what is truly important. I must decide what is truly important. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:23, "You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you." You say, I am allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Listen, some things in your life, they're not wrong. They're just not necessary. They waste time. They distract you from your calling and your destiny. And so we might not have time to pursue every dream that passes by our minds, so we must choose in advance to spend time on what is important. So I challenge you this morning to invest your life in the things that will outlast you. And so how do I move towards my dream? I needed to discover my design and gifts. I need to review my experiences, and then I need to decide what's truly important. Here's the last one. I'm almost out of time this morning. Number four, I need to have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches a message at the birth, really the birthday of the church. It was a crazy day. Scripture tells us that 3,000 people got saved. There was commotion. There was amazing things happening. But watch this. At the beginning of his message, he says this, Acts 2:17, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will, watch this, dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy." I used to read this scripture, and I kind of used to get irritated and think, well, why do young men have to see visions and the old people dream? Actually, I believe that this scripture refers to is sons and daughters, young and old, men and women, slave and free, to show us that it doesn't matter what demographic you fall into. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is. He was saying, my work, my plan will no longer be confined to a certain class, to a bunch of priests who were simply born into the right family. But instead, he was saying, whosoever will, let them come. Whoever's willing to carry on my work, it doesn't matter if you're young or old or man or woman, rich or poor, whoever's willing to do it, let them come. Then as Peter is preaching, he tells them, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to you as a pastor for a moment. I believe that one of the main reasons that people live unfulfilled lives, one of the main reasons that people never discover their dream or they never have the courage to pursue it is because they've never had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Listen, when you get filled with the Spirit, you will receive God's vision for your life as well as the power and the strength and the courage to pursue and accomplish it. In 2005, I was in a recording studio on the south side, not far from Miller Park. And as we were singing a song in the studio, one of the lines of the song said, "For the things he has done." And just like the old film strips, those of you that are old enough in school, we used to see in school the film strips. Some of you younger guys like the PowerPoint slides. How's that? It's like an old film strip. It's like 12 or 13 images flashed before my eyes. And each one of the pictures was a place I had been before. They were all places in my life that I would have deemed as ministry successes. And the very next line of that song says, it said, "For the things he has done," God shows me this real quick. The very next phrase says, "And the things he will do." And God spoke to me as clearly as I've ever heard him speak to me. He said, "Andrew, the things I will do in your future will make your past small in comparison." And just like that, boom, 100 images flew past my face. Places I've never been, people I've never seen. And I was so excited, and I was trying not to lose my composure in the music studio. And eventually we stopped the song. I shared with the group what had happened. But here's the thing. I had to get off of that chair in the studio. God had given me a word. He had given me a prophetic word. God had shown me things in my future, but I had to get off, my rear end and do something about it. 2 years later, I was in Corinth, Mississippi. We were singing. Wasn't really anything in my mind that was that special, but I remember as we were leading worship that night, I closed my eyes and I was just connecting to God. And I remember when I opened my eyes, boom, instantly, I knew it was one of those pictures I had seen before. I knew it instantly. God was saying, "Andrew, I've got a plan. Will you trust me? Will you follow me?" Almost 10 years passed. Never had another one, never saw another one of those things, but 2 years ago, Scott and Linda McLean opened up their warehouse for work, and last few years they've hosted a great party for our teens, and so it was the first one we had done. So they've got this little warehouse that has a basketball court. It's got this little kind of balcony, and so up on the balcony they had the movie Elf playing, and there was, you know, popcorn everywhere. They had craft tables, so you got basketball craft tables, cheer competition going on, kids literally swinging off the chandeliers, like for real, like it was chaos. And so I had dropped my kids off earlier, didn't go in, but when it came time to pick them up, I walked in to the place, and I just took in, I mean, the kids were having such a blast. It was just like, man, the energy level was like sky high. They were pumped. They were caffeinated. They were, you know, sugared up. Like, it was just amazing, right? And so I'm just sort of taking this all in. So I walk up to this balcony. I walk up the stairs to this balcony, and there's popcorn all over the floor. You know, Elf, you know, the character in Elf is burping super loud. I mean, it's a really spiritual moment. And I walked over to the corner of the balcony. I just looked down where I could see the kids playing ball and the craft tables and the game tables and, you know, the video games and Elf is going on. And I just closed my eyes and I just began to pray a prayer of blessing over those kids. God, protect them. Lord, you have great things in their future. Order their steps, God. Let them be world changers, Lord Jesus. Put the right friends around them. I just begin to pray over them. Not a spiritual moment, not a real spiritual place, to be perfectly honest, but I began to pray over them, bless them, and when I opened my eyes, boom, it was another one of those pictures. I knew it the second I opened my eyes. Listen, I want you to know, God has a plan. God has a future for you. God is something that he's put you together. He specifically created for you to accomplish. And when your dream is coupled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, you can change the world. Your God-inspired dreams are simply a tool for God to get you where he wants and needs you to be. We pursue the dream. Here's the thing. We pursue the dream, and we think that the dream is the ultimate destination. But listen, God is thinking about eternity, and he's thinking about generations to come. I don't know how many kids ministry people we have sitting in here, but you know what? I love you, because every single week you go in there and you teach the word of God to our children. You think, is this making any difference? Is it making any difference? Am I breaking through? But you know what? Some of you are training the next missionary that's going to turn the world upside down. God has called us. God has called us. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around. I believe the Spirit of God is gently convicting some of you right now to begin to dream again. Begin to dream again. For others here, maybe the first thing that you need to do is you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to give control of your life to him. You need to repent and say, God, I'm sorry for the way that I've gone. So if you're here this morning and you say, Andrew, I'm ready to make that decision. I'm ready to take that step. I'm tired of carrying my own sin. I'm ready to give it to Jesus. I'm ready to commit everything to him. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's where you are, I want to pray for you. If you're ready to follow Jesus, if you're ready to maybe come back, maybe at one point you had a deep relationship with him, but for whatever reason you've just drifted away, if you're ready to give him your all without hesitation, I want you just to raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you control. Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. And Lord, I turn them over to you. I'm asking you, Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, make me white as snow. Lord, your word says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone. And behold, all things are new. And so, Lord God, I thank you for new life in this place. Lord, I pray for everybody else in this auditorium. Those of us that have gotten so old that we've forgotten what it means to dream. Lord, I pray that you would stir within our spirit. That you would shake us, that you would awaken us. And that we would move towards our destiny. Some in this room have given up because the road's been so hard. Some of us have stopped pursuing because there's been so many detours and there's been so many delays and there's been so much heartache and so much pain. And so, Lord God, right now, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you would break the lie of the enemy off of our eyes and that you would see that in all things you work everything for our good. And that trial, that tragedy, that difficulty is the very thing that you want to use to propel us into our destiny. Let our eyes be open. Spiritual eyes be open this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org. or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.